Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin, he's back. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, joins us Monday and Friday. Didn't join us this past Monday, as Tennessee had the bye week. Kind enough to join us for two segments today to preview Tennessee, Georgia, talk about everything going on in Knoxville, and there's plenty to get into with Austin Price of VolQuest.com, at Austin Priceless on Twitter. Austin, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Chad. How are you?
Doing well. So let's start with some of the off-the-field stuff, and then we'll transition into what to expect from Tennessee in this game against Georgia. The Jeremy Banks police video that got out there earlier this week, is that something that the program knew about, or were they surprised when they saw what he said on the video like everyone else?
Well, I think that they had an inkling that, you know, that Jeremy had put on a bit of a show. I don't think that they were aware that, you know, he had said all that he had said. You know what I mean? I think they knew that, you know, he was a handful that night, but I'm not sure that they knew the exact, you know, words and phrases that Jeremy used. And then obviously, you know, a bad look for Jeremy Banks. And, you know, you mean, again, at the end of the day, I've always said this, you don't condemn any, you know, any 19, 20-year-old kid for mistakes, but he's obviously got to learn from this to be better going forward. Any more strikes against him, to me, would be grounds for, you know, dismissal.
Well, and the Jeremy Pruitt part of this, a 4:40 of him on a speakerphone talking to the cop, I'll be honest, when I saw that was released, and I watched all of it, I was expecting worse from him and things that he could have said or tried to redirect the cop to not do anything. He really didn't do that. He got very sarcastic in the end. I know he's spoken on that, Austin, that more than anything, he was surprised that what he thought was taken care of wasn't, and that if there was a warrant out for his arrest, they know where he is. Everyone in town knows who Jeremy Banks is. They could have gone and served it at any point. I think he was surprised by the circumstances with everything.
Well, I agree. I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, this kid, you know, you're right. Everybody knew where he was when he failed to show for his court date. You know what? I mean, I get it. I mean, it's not their job to notify, because they're not going to notify everyone that fails to show for court, hey, you didn't show. But at the same time, you know, to me, there's a little bit of gray area there where you could have said, okay, this kid's really, you know, he got pulled over for driving on a suspended license. He failed to show for court. Hey, let's notify, you know, the people. And I think that's where, you know, Coach Pruitt was kind of, I guess, taken aback a little bit that, you know, something minor turned into this major deal. You know, and you know, you're right. You know, Coach Pruitt, to me, out of that video, was clearly half out of it. And I mean, like, look, my kids wake me up at 3:00 in the morning, and I'm like, here's your cup of water. And I'm going to bed. Like, I mean, like, I don't even remember getting the cup of water.
I can't even open my eyes at that time. I just walk around with my eyes closed, trying to do whatever needs
correct.
To be done.
So, I mean, like, I understand where Coach Pruitt was, and he was trying to wrap his head around something that he, one, you know, thought was taken care of, and then, you know, was trying to figure out all the stuff. And you're right. I mean, he was a bit sarcastic at the end. You know, but, you know, hey, again, much like he said, and much like I said about Jeremy, you know, Coach Pruitt's got to learn from this. There's a learning curve of being a head coach. And, you know, to me, this is not just on Jeremy Pruitt. It's also on the people, you know, in certain spots, and making sure that, you know, hey, Coach, you know, to me, there's always got to be a middleman. You know, when Coach Fulmer was the head coach, they didn't call Coach Fulmer when they got in trouble in the middle of the night. They called Gerald Harrison. They called other members of the support staff. And so, to me, you know, the fact that he called Coach Pruitt, I think, goes to the fact that Jeremy Banks and Jeremy Pruitt are fairly close. But it also goes to the point that, you know, these are the learning curves of being a head coach.
So we got into this discussion earlier this week, and Hutton actually brought it up. Does Jeremy Pruitt have a Gerald Harrison? Does he have a guy like that that has his ear that can help handle things like this? I know that they haven't employed a ton of analysts, not near the level of Alabama or some other programs, but does he have that right-hand man, or is he more of a micromanager with these things?
No, he does. I mean, Todd Watson is his director of football operations. He's got Kerry Stevenson, who came over from Alabama this past offseason. You know, there are people in the program that are in that same type or similar type role. And so, that goes back to, I think part of it is Jeremy Pruitt has really kind of taken Jeremy Banks under his wing and tried to help this kid, you know, who's had some, stuff, not major stuff, but I mean, he's just kind of, grown up, in a rough situation, and Jeremy Pruitt tried to help this kid. And so he's really taking it upon himself. So I think that's why, Jeremy Banks, instead of going another direction the other night, went with the direction that, he feels like definitely has his back, and that's Jeremy Pruitt. And so, you're right. They just got to figure out a way to make sure that, Coach Pruitt kind of, he's involved, but he's not like front and center on something like that. You kind of got to have a middle man. And he does have those type of guys.
So the other big off-the-field story this week, Philip Fulmer decides to schedule himself on Vol calls. And we haven't heard from Philip Fulmer in a while. And he used that platform to both back Jeremy Pruitt and what he's trying to get done, I guess threefold. He also acknowledged 1-3 is very disappointing, and they should be 3-1. And that's a disappointment for everyone there. And then he went on to say, I have no interest in coaching anymore. So any of that stuff that's out there is simply not true. Was that a smart move by Philip Fulmer?
I don't think it's a dumb move. You could make a case that maybe.
I think it was smart. You may have could have waited longer, Austin, but it's good to at least squash those rumors that are out there.
I think smart to squash the rumors of don't want to coach again and kind of kill that narrative. Obviously you're going to say 1-3 is not acceptable. And then I think more than anything, if Jeremy Pruitt's your guy and you still see him as your guy, then you ought to, back him. And when I say that, in my opinion, Tennessee's got to back him for more than just the rest of this year and the next year. I think Tennessee's got to give him the 2021 season. If you're going down that road and you're going to be patient, you're going to play the long game, then play the long game. Don't play you get the rest of this year. Let's face it, Tennessee could, lose this week, obviously.
Well, let me give you, though, a for instance, though, with this, Austin, because you've raised an interesting point, but let me jump in and give you a for instance on your scenario. Let's say they go 3-9 this year, which is possible. Worse than that, I guess, is technically possible right now also with this team. If they come back and go 3-9 or 4-8 a year from now, it's going to be really tough to sell a fourth year of that if there's not significant progress. I'm not talking about competing in the East or anything like that, but I think being bowl eligible in 2020 certainly has to be the minimum expectation.
Well, it does, and in reality, based off how Jared Garantano played last year, Chad, the addition of Jim Chaney, the addition of certain key freshman playmakers, the fact that the schedule this year was infinitely easier than it was a year ago, everybody thought that definitely bowl was going to be a possibility this year. It's not off the table, but something's got to drastically change for that to happen at sitting there 1-3. I think that anybody that thinks Tennessee can't go to a bowl is I think being a little too overzealous. I mean, this team could easily go 2-10 though as well. I mean, the league is not that good. Tennessee can beat Mississippi State. South Carolina plays a murderer sort of schedule, so where are they at mentally in 3 weeks? And then, of course, you've got UAB, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. And, of course, Missouri, I think, playing football right now. But Tennessee could still conceivably, if they get things right, get corrected, flip it around.
Austin, let's talk about the game against Georgia, which I don't know that a lot of Tennessee fans want to talk about that. But there is an opportunity here. You get 12 of these games a year, and you get a few against truly elite teams, and Georgia certainly is elite. While Tennessee is not going to win this game, they have a chance to show something in this game at home tomorrow night, and it looks like they may be showing it or attempting to with a true freshman quarterback starting his first game. Do you expect Brian Maurer to be the starter tomorrow night?
I do believe this will be the Brian Maurer show coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And you're right. You know, I mean, a lot of people have said to me all week, why would you put him in there against Georgia? Why? Why not? I mean, you know, you put him, you go with the toughest competition you can find out of the gate. You can make the case maybe that scars a kid or puts him behind the eight ball. But then again, you let him get that action, and then next week when he plays Mississippi State, they're not as good. So, thus, all of a sudden, the game slows down a little bit for him. So, you know, I think that if you're going to make the move away from Jarrett, you know, the move's going to go ahead and be made. And, you know, it definitely seems like, you know, Tennessee is going in a different direction at the quarterback spot. I'm interested to see how many quarterbacks they play tomorrow night. Is it just the one, or if they play two?
Yeah, and if it's two, would it be Garantano coming in, or the other freshman, Trout?
I think that it would be Garantano tomorrow night coming in. You know, I just have a tough time seeing him go to Shroud.
Well, in Austin, just looking at Brian Maurer right now, because we haven't seen a lot of him, he's certainly more mobile than Jarrett Garantano, shown a little bit of that. I know they've been practicing some read option concepts with him in the game. Who is Brian Maurer as a player? And I think more importantly, because, and you set this up as, do you want to scar a kid mentally going up against Georgia's defense? Is he the type of kid that's easily going to get scarred because he has a bad performance or he sees a really good defense?
I don't think so. I mean, he played on a high school team that wasn't very good, Chad, and he put up some good numbers, but they definitely had their moments when they played some of the best teams in Florida where, you know, not only did he struggle because the other people around him weren't as talented, you know, but their team struggled. I don't think that he'll be scarred. Brian's a really confident kid. And the big reason that a lot of these players, including the upperclassmen, kind of gravitate towards him because he just kind of has I won't say the it factor, but he has a certain moxie about him that others like.
You know, we talked about Philip Fulmer's statement, and he was, and I know you guys had some detail because a member of your site, and Brent Hubbs is there for Vol calls, but he's pounding the table as he's talking about Jeremy Pruitt, and he's tough-minded, and he's a good recruiter, and he's a good coach, and he's got this program headed in the right direction. How much of that headed in the right direction is a belief in this freshman class from both Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer, and how important is it moving forward? You keep those guys developing, and maybe more importantly, depending on how ugly this year gets, keep those guys united and together.
Well, I think they are united, and I do think that Coach Fulmer has a strong belief in Jeremy Pruitt. You know, and again, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's 16 games into his head coaching career as, you know, as a first-time head coach, still learning on the fly, and I think we'll be the first to admit that, you know, he's made some mistakes and he's trying to learn from them. And I think Coach Fulmer sees that there was a void of talent when, you know, when Coach Pruitt got here, and he sees that firsthand and knows that it does take time and that, you know, you're not going to just roll out there with a bunch of freshmen and all of a sudden set the world on fire. It's going to take time to kind of flip this thing around, and that includes this freshman class to be really starting to set the tone for these last eight games.
So recruiting-wise this weekend, maybe a little bit different than you expected coming into the year, but certainly some local in-state flavor with the guys coming in to visit. What can you tell us about what Tennessee has set up this weekend?
Well, Tennessee already hosting three official visitors right now as we speak. The Whitehaven trio of Tamarian McDonald, Bryson Ethan, and Martavius French. They arrived late this morning from Memphis. Of course, they are off this week. And so they were able to come on up and kind of get their official visit started early. Reggie Grimes will be up late tonight or first thing in the morning after they play Dixon County tonight, as we all saw your tweet. There was some breaking news on that Ravenwood front in the last hour or so with their coach and another coach being indefinitely suspended as a pending an investigation. And, you know, to me, it goes back to, you know, having some of these 2022s, like a guy like Ty Simpson in. You know, obviously, you know, you want to continue to make, you know, strong impressions with the guys you have committed. Jalen Hyatt will be back in town. B.J. Ojulari, Cooper Mays. And then I'm really interested. Does Jay Hardy make it in? He's supposed to. If he does, at some point you're like, okay, Jay, let's, you know, you obviously like Tennessee a lot. You know, get in the boat and help this thing move along.
Well, and speaking in terms of helping it move along, the Whitehaven trio that you discussed, is there a chance Tennessee could get all three to commit by the end of this weekend?
You know, I don't know. I think that's pretty far. I mean, to me, that's a tough ask. I'm not going to say it's far-fetched because, I mean, you know, they all three kind of get, you know, of like mind, and they've all talked about playing together for so long. Obviously, Tennessee's offering that opportunity. But I do think that that notion is really appealing to them, and I think this weekend goes a long way to establishing whether Tennessee is the team to beat or not.
Is there a chance that we see Bryce Thompson return some punts this Saturday? Again, that being if they can force Georgia to punt, which would be step number one, but is there a chance that you see him on special teams?
Yes, yeah, I do think Bryce will return punts on Saturday, and I think he probably would have returned them all year long had he been eligible to play those first three games, but he wasn't, so that was Marcus Callaway, and so I do think Bryce Thompson will get a shot tomorrow night.
So Jeremy Pruitt said that the offensive line played their best game against Florida, even though they put up 3 points. It hasn't been as big of a problem as maybe we could have expected coming into the season based on them a year ago. What do you think about the development of this offensive line, and is Jeremy Pruitt seeing something there that they can work with?
Well, I think they like this this young group of linemen a lot. You know, even down to the guys that really haven't played to this point. I mean, they've been happy with what Jackson Lampley has gotten done in practice. And, of course, he got in against Chattanooga. They you know, like to kind of start because it really is a start for Chris Ogunne, who, you know, really has not been able to give him much through spring and then really not up until last week and a half or so in fall camp. You know, he's been battling a hamstring. And so he's back. And so they like this young group, of course, highlighted by the top two tackles, Wanya Morris, Darnell Wright. And this offensive line, I mean, it's a young group, but, I mean, a year ago they were 19th in pass protection in the league, or, sorry, 14th in pass protection in the league. And then this year they're 9th. That's an improvement by 5. And, you know, they're not setting the world on fire, but they are, you know, a lot better than they were a year ago. And I think that just starts with Brandon Kennedy is healthy and learning and kind of growing as a player. Trey Smith is back full go and giving them all he can, even though he's limited in practice. And then Tennessee just had, I think, really pretty decent player development along the offensive line.
So a rare basketball question for you in early October. Tennessee's got a big weekend. They've got Jaden Springer in town, and he's in town with Keon Johnson and Corey Walker. 2 5-stars and a 4-star in town for Tennessee basketball this weekend. Is there a chance they wrap things up with Jaden Springer by the end of the weekend?
I think privately there's a chance that they wrap things up with Jaden Springer. You know, I think likely, you know, he'll make his announcement later. But, you know, I do think that, you know, coming out of this visit, there's a chance that Tennessee does, you know, get this thing done. And obviously the news yesterday and was first reported by 5-star Preps over here in Knoxville that the IMG Academy, led by Jaden Springer, will play Knoxville Catholic on January 25th over here in Knoxville. So I think that only connects the dots even more that Jaden Springer and Tennessee are a marriage that's likely to happen sooner rather than later.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. They do a great job covering all things Tennessee at that site. Check it out, at Austin Priceless on Twitter. Austin, I said this last night also, watching Brentwood Academy and Knoxville Catholic. ESPN badly needs to use local broadcasters to do those games. I got sick of hearing ESPN refer to Brentwood Academy as Brentwood. Brentwood is a completely different school. It was over and over they did that. Yeah, get the name of the school right. They need to have Mark Packer and Austin Price on that game in Knoxville.
It would be fun.
Get with your boys on that.
Also lucrative.
Austin, thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Austin Price, not wanting to play along with me on that, apparently. Got some ties to ESPN, apparently.